Hi, I'm sick. I'm going to be coughing all the time. Welcome to the Solder Shore Bubble. I am Scotty Waz. That is Jen, the NHL history girl. I can hear out of only one ear.
Yes.
My voice sounds a little better.
It sounds a lot better, let's be honest.
Sure. I'm not coughing as much or sniffling as much. So I'd say this thing is whole past for all intents and purposes. And now just in time for you starting to get the sniffles.
Yeah, thanks. So,
well, mine was a sinus infection. That was internal. This is on you. Also could be because we got the summertime fever.
Yeah.
Summertime. What are we going to talk about? Who the hell knows? We might take a few weeks off here and there. You'll get used to it. As we try to reload for next season as well. Because it all has to deal with the ebbs and flows of history. We don't want to get too much. We don't want it too inside and blah, blah, blah. So this week we'll talk all the summertime stuff, summertime sports, summertime jobs, summertime earthing.
Mm-hmm.
And our trip recently to Fargo for some summertime goodness.
Yeah. Baseball.
Baseball indeed. And we'll start with baseball. And so there was a thing that came out on CBC, and this has been going on for years, that people are publishing these articles that players who or kids, basically, shouldn't be playing the same sport for all year long. So 10 to 12 months out of the year, mm-hmm. playing one sport. It's going to get kids burned out. It's going to get them. I don't know what the fool thing was. It
limits their skill set.
Mm.
Like, ultimately, because they're not working on alternative ways of working their brain during athletics and working their muscles, they're locked into a very certain skill set. So it's actually detrimental to becoming a star player.
Yeah. And you see that every now and again where you got guys like Shanahan and Oates in the old school playing mm-hmm. lacrosse and you know, even during season two, like big deal because it works in your hands.
Yeah. Well, and it's good for vision, too, right? Because box lacrosse is a small field.
Yeah.
So you got to be quick with your passes. You got to be accurate with your passes, and you got to know where your guy is.
Yep. And, yeah, you kind of get that feeling of being boxed in, too, so you kind of right. get a better vision. Rather than that outdoor lacrosse, while sure it has a skill set, you don't have the condensed vision.
Right.
But you were telling me while we were driving to Fargo, while we were thinking of ideas of what the hell to talk about this week, just about like some guys who were just out there going ahead and, doing different things successfully in other sports.
Oh yeah. The biggest example, and maybe not many people know enough about him, is a Hall of Famer. He's a hockey Hall of Famer. He's also a Hall of Famer in a couple of other things too. His name's Lionel Conacher. His nickname is the Big Train. He is one of two players to have their names engraved on both the Grey Cup and the Stanley Cup. The other one is Carl Voss. So he was on the Argonauts. He played on the Maple Leafs baseball team that won the International League Championship in 1926. He won wrestling, boxing, lacrosse championships. He was like literally the definition of an all-around athlete. I mean, he dominated in everything.
Yeah, that baseball one's interesting because the International League was it's now triple A league, but
mm-hmm.
still high quality baseball in mm-hmm. that time. And you know, guys going around and doing other things. Interesting, his nickname's the Big Train.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
It's also Walter Johnson's nickname from the Washington Senators back in the day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, was he the pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I remember him from the Ken Burns
documentary.
Yeah, because that's how I learned about baseball in the first place, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see a lot of hockey guys. I should have brought a drink in here, my God. You're going to have to carry the show, by the way, just FYI.
Okay, I'll try.
So, like, just, you know, is there anybody else, or is that that's the biggest one?
He's the biggest one. There were several others. There were a couple others who played in the CFL and in the NHL. There's a couple others who also won boxing and lacrosse championships.
Boxing's an interesting one. Like, I wouldn't think boxing would be...
Right? Yeah.
Especially in a sport that's so team-driven as hockey and all team first, and boxing's the most individual sport.
It is, but there's a guys like... what's his name from Long Island? He used to play for the Rangers.
Steve Webb?
No, Nick
Fatu?
Fatu, that's it. I don't know what it is with me. I can only remember one name. Either it's first name or last name. I can never remember both at once. Anyway, he was a Golden Gloves boxer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hear that about guys from WWE now. You don't hear about that in the NHL now.
Yeah. But then, you know, there was this physical training manual that was very big. It was written in England. And it became like the standard physical training manual for athletes for a long, long time, like through the 50s into the 60s. And then all of a sudden you have the Soviet method that comes in. So anyway, the argument was that even in this book, the argument was that you should never do the exact same thing day in, day out. You should, you know, today you should do jumping jacks, and tomorrow you should do push-ups, and the day after that you should, you know, jump rope, and the day after that you should, you know, you should, and it was, you know, you should never do the same soccer drills every day, and you should never do the same, you should never swim every day, and you should never... So even back then, they had something figured out. But anyway, the Habs really believed in this. And so you'll see pictures of some of their players from that era playing on summer softball teams to stay in shape. You know, baseball was more of a thing for players to do in the off season than golf, and it was that way for a long time. The ones who could afford to, you know, take some of that time off during the summer. Gordie Howe played for a Saskatchewan team, and I wouldn't say it was like a pro league. It was, I don't know if it was a semi pro league. It was the Saskatoon 55s. You can look them up and figure it out for yourself, people who have more baseball expertise than me. Anyway, the legend is that during one game, he hit like the longest home run in the league history. And he hit it and it like went into a boxcar of a passing train. Like that's the myth. I don't know if that's really true or not. But Gordie Howe was a power hitter, and he used to take batting practice with the Tigers, and their manager loved him because he could hit further than most of the guys on the team.
Well, yeah, that hand-eye coordination comes into effect, and the fact that he was a hoss, you know, guys have bigger upper bodies in hockey.
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of natural strength to begin with. He didn't like working out, and his original summer job was carrying, like, concrete and doing construction stuff, and his dad was on the construction crew and said he could carry, you know, 2-3 90-pound bags of cement easy, like, no sweat. So you can see where that power comes from.
Sure.
Yeah.
There is one player who's played both pro hockey and pro baseball.
And that is?
That man is, I'm looking it up right now because the tab's loading slowly, Jim Riley. Played for the St. Louis Browns and the Washington Senators in the 20s, and then played for the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Krugers in the 1926-27 season. So, as a total, he only played 9 games, 2 assists in the NHL. Didn't play much in the in MLB either. It was a span of 7 years in between. Had 14 at bats, no hits, only 1 run scored, 3 walks. So not a good, no batting average at all, but played in both pro hockey and pro baseball as well. And you had an interesting story about Doug Harvey too.
Oh yeah. Doug Harvey played semi-pro baseball for 2 years, and there was an opportunity for him to actually move up into the major league system, and he decided that he was going to stick with hockey instead. Probably a good choice, but yeah. I'll see if I can find his position here that he played. Nope, doesn't say. But yeah, he wasn't the only one. I mean,
well, Doug Harvey's dad too.
Huh?
Was Doug Harvey the one whose dad said, "Get out of here"?
No, that was Dennis Potvin's dad.
Oh, Denny Potvin.
Yeah.
Another defenseman.
Yeah, no, Potvin played until he was 18. And he played baseball until he was 18, and he was on the Expos scouting list, and the Expos came to their house and, you know, said, "We're interested in your son," and his dad said, "You know, get out of here, my kid's playing hockey."
Well, the father knows best.
Yeah. And Sam Pollock got his start as a GM when he was like 15. He was actually helping manage a softball team that some of the Habs were on during the summer, and they liked him, and he just sort of kept climbing the ladder and went through the system, and, you know, minor hockey, and then major junior, well, not major junior, but what did they call it then, senior amateur, something like that. Anyway, he was also a part-time scout for a major league baseball team. I want to say it was the Dodgers. Don't quote me on that. But Sam Pollock loved baseball so much that he drove like 3 hours just to get reception to listen to his favorite team play. And then later on in life, when they were first starting the Toronto Blue Jays organization, they went to Sam Pollock and said, "Hey, we really want you to be our general manager." And he turned them down.
Hmm.
So
he's one of those beautiful mind ones.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's a legend about him getting into a trivia contest with the Tigers GM at the time and winning, like beating him out on trivia on his own team.
It helps.
Yeah.
Babe Dye, also a big baseball guy, got up to double-A level with Buffalo in the mid-20s.
Yes.
Had a .342 batting average. In B seasons in B leagues in Brantford, had a pretty decent in the double A level. He was okay.
Yeah.
Never walked, 675 hits in 2,180 plate appearances. So,
yeah. The further back you go, Gretzky played baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big Oakland fan.
His son got drafted by the Cubs.
Yeah.
Some other guys in there. Of course, we all know the legend of Tom Glavine.
Uh-huh.
With drafted in the fourth round above guys like Brett Hall and Luke Robitaille and all this. Kurt McCaskill actually played, these are baseball guys playing hockey. Was a Hobey Baker finalist with the University of Vermont.
Yeah.
He signed with the Moncton Hawks, or got drafted by the Jets, signed with the Moncton Hawks, suited up for one game for the Jets but didn't play, and then quit to focus on baseball. Great baseball player, too, at least in college. Decent. He's a 106 and 108 record in MLB, but he had longevity because he's Kurt McCaskill, for Christ's sake.
Jerome McGinley.
Ginla.
He was a catcher on the junior national baseball team, if I remember correctly.
Chris Drury, the best pitcher to play in the NHL.
Yes.
He won the Little League World Series with Connecticut. Niger Morgan, a baseball player, played in for the Regina Pats for 2 games. God, where the hell is it at? Jesus, MLB. Niger Morgan grew up in California, played for the Vernon Vipers of the BCHL, and then later played for the Regina Pats, scored 2 goals in his first game with the Pats, too.
Wow.
So, very skilled player. He's had some troubles off the field, but and on the field, yelling at umps and stuff like that.
Logan Couture twice won Canada's hit run throw title as a kid.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know what that is, but
it's almost like a punt pass kick competition for football, but it's baseball. Dave Semenko fought Ali. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, that was a charity match.
Okay. Rest in peace, both of them. My God.
Yeah, it was a 3-round, like, you know, air quote match. Let me see here. Oh, Jamie Benn.
Oh, yeah.
He played, he was the MVP of the 2006 Provincial AAA Champion Midget Baseball Team. He was a first baseman.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the reason why, and then apparently that's the reason why they drafted him in the fifth round, is because he was playing baseball, so they didn't think he was getting the right conditioning.
Sure.
Although, I don't know, if you're playing first base, you got to be in some sort of decent shape. I mean, no? Okay, then.
No, first base is the sloppiest position next to DH.
Okay.
Because, go to first to cover. Go to first to cover.
I see.
Yeah, no. Short or first
Am
base.
Am I thinking like shortstop?
Shortstop, yeah. Okay. Shortstop, third base. Yeah.
I'm still learning all of these baseball things.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Justin Morneau, also a big played hockey, got drafted by the Portland Winterhawks in the WHL. And also Larry Walker. Former goaltender wanted to be a goaltender if he didn't play baseball. So
you know how Bob Bourne and Clark Gillies first met?
Hmm.
They were playing single A baseball in like Virginia or West Virginia or somewhere out in that Kentucky, Virginia, ruralish.
You must be still learning the United States too, because that's not Kentucky's not really that close to Virginia.
I mean that like that regional, like that mid-Atlantic regional.
The Hicks. We get it. No, yeah. I got it.
Anyway, yeah, that's how they met, because they were both playing single-A baseball.
Hmm.
When they were like 16, 17, something like that. Yeah. Stéphane Richer, I think his Little League team went to the World Series.
Pierre Turgeon's did too.
Yeah.
So there you go, some baseball knowledge and some hockey knowledge on there as well. just looking at multi-sport athletes and...
Yeah, Greg Zanon.
Hmm?
Greg Zanon.
Zanon, yeah.
Zanon, yeah. Wasn't Morneau a goalie?
Yeah, no, Walker was a goalie. I don't think Morneau was. Matt Molson was drafted by the National Lacrosse League. Interesting. Tamus Lalani raced professionally, rally cars.
Yes.
Under the alias
Teddy Flash.
Tukul Salama.
Translates as Teddy Flash, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there've been a couple of guys who could really cross over. Oh, which reminds me, Eric Lindros. And his batting practice.
A little bit further, let's get to Haley Wickenheiser, another one.
Yes.
Played for the 2000 softball in the Summer Olympics for Canada, as well as playing in the Women's National Olympic team in the winter. So.
Yeah, she's the only one to medal in both.
I don't know if they medaled in summer, did they?
There was something about it. I can't remember.
And the only one to participate.
The only one to participate in both summer and winter team sports.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Anywho, what about Carl? What about Eric Lindros? Because this is.
I just saw a thing that said Grant Fuhr was drafted for baseball, and I'm like, okay. So most people have seen the card of. Of Eric Lindros doing batting practice with the Blue Jays. And So he hasn't been drafted yet. And they're standing in the hallway of Cops Coliseum, and he's, you know, signing cards for kids, and the reporter's there. And the reporter's talking to his parents, because, of course, his parents are going to be talking to the reporter. And so they're not very happy about, you know, about the Nordiques, and they don't, you know, you all know that story. So his mom, Bonnie, is like, well, you know what an option is? Baseball. And they're going, wait, what? And she keeps going, Eric could play baseball, she says. He's never played much baseball, but he's going to take it up. He took batting practice with the Blue Jays this season. And then his dad said, he's starting too late to play one of the skill positions, but I think he can hit. He could play first base, maybe outfield. He could be a designated hitter. He could play baseball and he could play hockey. It's a better fit than Bo Jackson has, don't you think? Oh, God.
Like, do they understand how deluded they are?
No, they really don't.
Does Eric himself understand how deluded they are?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. When he was younger, his parents actually called Bobby Orr's parents.
You've told this story on here before.
Have I? Okay, yeah. I won't tell it again, but...
Well, there's new listeners. What's the story?
His parents called Bobby Orr's parents and said, hi, we're Eric Lindros' parents, and we want to know how you raised a superstar. And his mom and Bobby Orr's mom just sort of snorted and said, we didn't raise a superstar, we raised a son. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. So.
Very bizarre, those parents, let me tell you.
They can be very, very strange.
Well, hell, you look at what LeVar's ball is doing now with Lonzo ball, so.
Well, even Jack Johnson's parents.
They just stole from him. They didn't really do.
They used him. I mean,
they stole from him. Like, they weren't in the limelight, though.
No, but they were in it to raise a child. That
sure,
that
but
they saw as a cash cow.
But they weren't as outgoing.
No, they're not parents. The media people. I was reading something too about there was a quarterback who, like, his dad literally raised him from the day he was born to be a quarterback, and they called him Robo QB. And he only played, like, 2 major league games.
NFL games?
Yeah. And It was that same sort of thing where his dad raised him to be an NFL quarterback. But his dad also knew enough to stay out of, like, contract negotiations. And
oh,
out of,
Todd Maranovich.
Yeah. Like, his dad knew to stay out of negotiations for products or, you know, contracts or whatever, whereas Lindros parents didn't, and the LeVar Ball doesn't, and yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a thing where Marinovich, his dad, was an athlete at USC, so he wanted his son to do the same thing. And it's funny because now he's trying to make a comeback at 48. After a drug charge and stuff like that. So he's trying to make a comeback in a lower football league. So.
Huh.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting what's going to happen here. But a lot of these guys, they had to have also, on top of this, summer jobs. Especially in the olden days.
Yeah. Yeah, prior to the 70s. And even some of them in the 70s. Had to have summer jobs. Okay, so here's the thing. In the beginning, you had 7 players on your team. Maybe 8, maybe 9. 10 if your team was feeling generous because, you know, if you got injured or whatever. Like, they didn't carry a full roster the way we'd consider it today. So you had a star player, and you would pay that star player quite a bit of money because you didn't want him to hop to another team, because at the time it was kind of... It was almost like outlaw leagues where you could just hop back and forth between the Western and the Eastern and the, you know, like, you could just, there really were no obstacles to jumping for a bigger, better salary. So part of the lure for playing for a team was a guaranteed job. So you went to play for the Renfrew Creamery Kings, and you had a guaranteed job with the mining company in town. Like, you know, you had a guaranteed relatively nice job. You were offered a job playing for the Ottawa Silver Sevens, and you were offered a government job, like a guaranteed government job. Like, they used to guarantee you a job, like a day job. Along with your salary, your professional salary. But keep in mind, your professional salary, for the most part, was per game. It was not for the season. It was not year-round. There was no per diem. There was no... It was per game. You show up tonight, you get, you know, $100, whatever. So then there are salary caps, and the league grew, and... there was less of these job guarantees. It was more of, we own your rights, because it started growing into that, like the C forms and the regionals and territories and whatever. And so it was basically, we own you. You can't go play for anyone else. You're going to play for us or else. Like, that's kind of how it was. You play for us or you're done. And they didn't have to pay a whole lot because they didn't need to pay a whole lot because they didn't have to keep their players all that happy because they could play for them or they could quit. You know, it was that rock and the hard place. So players needed day jobs and they needed year-round day jobs. And eventually it got to the point where salaries got a little bit better. It was decent, still not necessarily enough to live on, especially if you had kids. And that's when they stopped having year-round day jobs and went to summer jobs. And that's, that would be post-World War II where they did that. But before World War II, it was you had a year-round job. So a lot of these summer jobs were things that were jobs that you could get easily, and they were offered to you by, like, Conn Smythe. You know, I have pictures of Tim Horton working in a gravel pit that Conn Smythe owned. Like, he wanted them doing hard...
It's Mr. Burns.
Yeah, he wanted them doing hard labor during the summer, in the theory it would keep them in shape. So, yeah. And he didn't pay them enough there either. So they had to have both jobs. Like, he kept it so that you had to play for him in the winter and you had to work for him in the summer. Rocket Richard had a side job. A couple, actually. The one off the top of my head is he ran a, like, fishing lure and reel business out of his basement. Like, he made his own, like, fishing reels, and, you know, they advertised them as being hand done by the Rocket himself, and that's what he did.
Hmm. Now, that one's fun.
Yeah. So, and then the 70s came along. You didn't have to have a summer job. There were a couple of outliers who still did, because they felt like it kept them honest. There was a... Minnesota North Stars player who worked summers in, like, a meatpacking plant or selling cars, or, you know, because he felt like, you know, well, for one thing, he was from one of the Soviet bloc countries, so he was convinced that, you know, the more money I can save, the better it is. And also, well, if this falls through, then at least I have this, you know. So I want to say it was Frank Musil. But, yeah.
He was German, right? No, that would be... He's Czech.
I think he was Czech, yeah. Yeah, but he... Like, his mentality was, you know, I need this, just in case. I need this.
As a fallback, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. By the way, put a bow on Jim Riley, James Riley. Also won the... he not only played in the NHL and the MLB, won the Stanley Cup with the Metropolitans.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He was on that cup team. So, there you go.
That makes sense.
There you go. That's it. Anything else we had to talk about? I was trying to think about. It was just baseball. It was the two sport athletes. Bah, bah, bah.
Oh, we got stuff on eBay.
Yes, we did. You want to go on your duck hunting spree?
Ugh, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I was like, I need a Ducks jersey. And then I found one with the original tag still on it. And we're talking like the old purple and teal.
Eggplant, sorry. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, and it still has the original CCM like product tag on it. So I'm very excited.
Look at it right behind you. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, I'll post a picture later. And then I found a tie with the duck goaltender.
Wild Wing.
Wild Wing. And it just
not
says,
Guy Bear, although we really lost if Guy Bear was on the tie.
That'd be amazing. And then it actually says on the tie, like, inaugural season. There's a picture of it on Twitter. And then the background of the tie is, like, Mighty Ducks, like, printed over and over and over and over. So, yeah.
Neat. I just got a commemorative ticket for the first Atlanta Thrashers game. That's it. And so I was just looking, again, just dumb on eBay, just like, oh, what does this have? What kind of gonzo crap for cheap I can find here?
Yeah, see, I don't go on eBay because I know that's where I'm going to, like, waste all of my money that I...
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't have.
Yeah, basically.
Essentially what I do, I'm just like, need this? I'm like, oh, it's $10, sure.
Yeah, I'm like, do I need to eat this month? Not that much. Yeah.
There's some stuff on there I just see, I'm just like... All right, I'll put a bid in, but if someone outbids me, then...
Then I'm done.
Then I'm done. I don't need to get into a bidding war for something I really don't need.
Yeah.
So.
And I try to do that. Try to make that my rule, too. Oh, you know what I forgot?
Oh.
The Gretzky thing about...
go ahead.
Okay, so the Oilers told him to quit playing softball in the summer because they didn't want their prized possession
right.
hurt.
Right, and this is during a time where teams in the offseason had softball teams.
Right.
Like, everyone had, like...
They all had charity teams.
Yeah, and, like, even the WWF at the time had a charity softball team.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, and so they told him to quit playing softball, or at least quit playing softball that wasn't Oilers-sanctioned alumni
right,
softball.
Right, where we can look after you.
Right, and he didn't. And so he played in a summer league with friends back home and whatever. And so he sprains an ankle. Like, he's reaching for the ball and he sprains an ankle. And they're driving to the hospital, and he's in the back seat with his leg propped up. And he's back there ranting, like, I'm not insured for this. If I get hurt, we're halfway to the hospital. You got to make it look like a car crash. Like, we can't tell the Oilers I got hurt playing baseball. like he's just in the backseat, like, conspiracy theorizing, like, how to avoid telling the team what happened. Yeah. And there's another very odd picture of him playing in, like, sneakers, no socks, teeny tiny little, like, tennis or running shorts, like, teeny tiny, awkwardly. Teeny tiny, and no shirt, and he's out there fielding the ball.
Of course, man. You got to bro down. Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Got
books.
Yeah, you got some books.
I did.
You want to talk about those books, or you just want to... Because you got these two here.
Yes.
So, that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I got Bobby Orr and the Big Bad Bruins.
Stan Fischler joint.
From back in the day. Like,
what year is this?
Oh, it's got to be 70. I'm going to guess 78.
Oh, God, no.
No?
69.
Wow.
So, this is before their big thing. God,
before their joy.
All freaking print.
Yeah, it's one of those little pulp. Yeah, those books weren't meant to survive, and somehow they do, so it's always a miracle when you find them.
Sure.
Because they're cheap paper that gets really brittle really quickly, and cheap glue that, you know, the books just crack and fall apart, and so it's a miracle to find it in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I got was Texas on Ice?
Texas on Ice, the early strides to pro hockey and the 1941-42 American Hockey Association season.
Yeah.
So this one I liked because I was showing this off on the Face Off Hockey show. It's cool because they have, like, just in-state games and a huge thing about Texas.
A lot of news
Texas
clippings.
Texas hockey. Amazing amount of news clippings on this. And pretty neat and colorized version of pictures and pictures of the jerseys. I don't know if they're, I doubt they're original. They might be, I don't know, to go along with it. But it's really cool. It's a nice piece to have.
Sometimes they used to sell like colorized photos as souvenirs. Mm. So that might be what it is.
And they have a the Transcontinental Train Route of the AHA. So just like the entire train route from Minneapolis to Omaha to Kansas City to St. Louis to Tulsa to Fort Worth to Dallas up to St. Paul. That's insane.
So that's not the league that the LA Wolves were in?
No. I don't think. No, it doesn't look like it.
Okay.
It looks just like a St. Paul, Minnesota, Omaha, St. Louis, Kansas City, Tulsa, Fort Worth, and Dallas. Hmm. So those were the games there.
Is Minnesota the Millers?
I mean, let's see if they have the name for it.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a really cool book. It's really, I think it's well put together.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, who sent this to you?
Someone from the Dallas Stars.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
Fort Worth Rangers were a team.
Yep.
The
Rangers I knew because I'd posted a picture of them before.
So, the Dallas Texans, Fort Worth Rangers, St. Louis Flyers, Omaha Knights, Minneapolis Millers, Kansas City Greyhounds, Tulsa Oilers, and St. Paul. St. Paul does not have a name, apparently.
Hmm.
Does not look like they have a name. St. Paul Saints, duh. So the team, the baseball team we saw yesterday.
Yeah. That was a common thing for the St. Paul teams. They were all the Saints for whatever reason.
It's just like all Baltimore teams are the Orioles. Like every sport except football.
Yeah, and in no way is it confusing when you're trying to find, you know, Orioles hockey stuff.
No, God, no, not at all. Because the Oriole name even lasted after the original Orioles left, and there was a AAA team called the Orioles. We're like, God damn it, really? Can we get a break here and there?
Yeah.
But yeah, we did. Speaking of which, we did go to Fargo. We saw some baseball, mm-hmm. which kind of sparked this. Oh, we're going to a baseball game. Let's talk about baseball and hockey together. It was a decent game.
Yeah.
Random audio drops here and there.
Really random.
But enjoyable time, as always.
Yeah.
Stadium's really nice. It's a really nice stadium. Even though they put netting up around every portion of the ballpark now.
Yeah, which was interesting watching them try to get the t-shirt cannon up over the netting.
Yeah, if you're not in like the first, like if you're not in the back 5-10 rows, you're not getting a t-shirt.
No. And, you know, I feel like they should have figured out the angles before coming into the game with the t-shirt cannon, like just stand on an empty field and...
Well, they've had a couple months to perfect it, so then this is the best they have, it seems.
I guess.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's dude, what, one row over, one row down, caught a baseball with his hat.
Yeah.
That was fun. Everyone was all excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. That was pretty... Well, no, he didn't catch it with his hat. The guy tried to catch it with his hat, and the other guy, with his hand, went to the glove.
Mm.
And or actually, the ball came down, and it went through the guy, because it had a snapback. Which is another reason why I hate snapbacks. Went through the hole in his snapback, and the guy caught it underneath his hand.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, that's sick. Nasty. Good work.
And the pitcher who had the Noah Syndergaard...
Yeah.
Golden Flow.
Like Steve Hamburger or some stuff like that.
Yeah, they had some interesting names in the game. Because there was DJ Kong.
KD Kong.
KD Kong.
He's been the designated hitter there for years.
Yeah. And a guy named O, like O-H.
Yeah.
And Hamburger.
Hamburger.
Yeah.
Let me see. Mark Hamburger. He played for the Texas Rangers, apparently. Yeah, he debuted in 2011. One win, and that was it.
Hmm.
And he was like a minor league guy. Claimed off of waivers and played in AAA. Played in the Australian League November to February for the Melbourne Aces.
I'm always surprised that more NHLers don't go over to Australia.
A lot of minor league guys go to Australia. Mark DeSalvo, who plays in the SPHL, or played in the SPHL, goes down there every summer.
Yeah.
And plays, just because their season ends as the Australian season starts.
Sure.
So there's a lot of guys who end their season early, like younger guys, of course, mm-hmm. with the older guys. That's a hell of a haul.
Yeah. Oh, I know they were trying to sign Mike Commodore at one point. And I'm like, if you're aiming for the perfect NHLer for your league, that's mm-hmm. probably him.
Oh, and Hamburger's he's a local boy, too, for St. Paul. Arden Hills, Minnesota is where he's from.
I really like their uniforms. The gray with the royal blue was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Those are alternates.
Yeah.
So, there we go. We didn't get much thrift store stuff, hockey stuff at least, did we?
No. But we only went to, what, two places?
Two places.
Yeah.
You got a Saber, or you didn't get a Saber shirt.
Did get a Saber shirt.
Did you get the, oh, you got the Tyler Meyer shirt, that's right.
Yes. Yep.
With the new old logo.
Yeah. Well, you know, it fits nicely because all I have is the Buffalo Slug. So mm-hmm. now I have two.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think, and neither of them are on the team anymore, are they? No, Tyler Meyer's got, he's with the Jets now.
Yeah. I can't remember who my Buffalo Slug is.
Stafford, I think.
I think it's Stafford.
He might be back with the team. I can't remember.
He's with the Jets now, I think.
That's a shame. Well, he got traded this summer, too.
Did he?
Or,
I basically just wait for the first day of the season and start going, oh, that's where he went.
And even during the year, you're wondering that?
Yeah.
Drew Stafford is a Bruin. Or is an unrestricted free agent, but played for the Bruins most recently. There we go.
Yeah.
All right, I got nothing else. I got to figure out why I can't hear out of this ear. It's kind of annoying me. So.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Shit. All right, where can they find you?
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Waz. The show, SDR Strom Bubble. Ask us any questions and the side of Strom Bubble at gmail.com for email questions if you don't remember the Twitter handle. So, for Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. Has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye. Bye.